Welcome to the Fantasy Wargaming Podcast. We're your hosts, Tony
and Paul, and we've got a guest on with us this evening. How are we doing, Tim?
Good, thank you very much. Thanks, guys.
On the show. This one, we're looking at the matchups. So you've probably, well, if you haven't already, go explore the other coverage. People have done who's in the Masters, what lists they're bringing, etc. Our task is to predict and to discuss the first round. We're going to try and keep it as brief as possible. We're not going to go too in-depth. Going to try and keep the show to an hour maximum if we can. Yeah, I've been a little bit out of the hobby for the past year. Don't know about you guys. So it'd be interesting to see what our takes are on these lists. But with the three of us, I'm sure we'll muddle through.
Basically, we're leaning on Tim to be the voice of knowledge and authority, and we'll just do what we do every year, which is pick a name out of the hat and get it terribly wrong.
That's it. Roll the dice. Who we got game one?
So game one is Tanker versus Ali Paran. So, yeah, interesting one. So Ali is using his green skins, which he uses quite a lot. And I always love with Ali that he goes for the Gargantula, you know, character on a Gargantula every time. I mean, it's not his general because that would be madness, but yeah, the sight of that Goblin King coming over.
It's a nice piece, isn't it? I think the book changed a little while back, making the two Gargantulas not as good as the, he's just a very efficient piece. I quite like the paired weapons with the Shieldbreaker as well. It helps him in certain matchups. But what's Tank? Well, we know what Tanker's taking. He's taking Highborn Elves. The madman is going to be interesting. What do we think about this particular matchup? Obviously, I think Adam is the favourite here, as ranking higher in the rankings, been to multiple Masters, etc. But let's hear your views first, and then I'll give my views on this one last, and then we'll alternate as we go around.
Yeah, I'll kick off then. So my overview of this one, I like Ali's list a little bit. I don't like all of it. There's not the strongest things in here. I like the cheap wizard characters, things like that. The monsters are pretty solid in this matchup, given that the Tanker's running pretty much Elven infantry. But Tanker's brought with him an awful lot of shooting. The combat is savage. I just wonder if the Highborn shooting will be efficient enough to deal with one or two of the big threats early. If they are, this is a cascading landslide to Tanker. I think if Ali can land a tactically placed Wrath of God, it could spice things up. But if that doesn't come down, land and wipe out half this infantry before it hits combat, I have this matchup down as a 16 plus to Tanker, just because it could cascade so very quickly with how elite and savage his combat units are. And he has enough shooting to put a dent in things he doesn't want to fight. So I think this one will come down to one or two possible magic spells. But if they don't land, as I said, if there's not a Wrath of God to deflate these numbers, this is a big, big win to Tanker, in my opinion.
I think it's going to be a high score one way or the other. Don't you think, given it's Ali likes to go for a decent win and Tanker doesn't exactly hold back? So I think they're unlikely to come out with a low 12-8 or something like that. I think you're right. I just like goblins and orcs and goblins more than high elves, highborn elves. So,
what I've done to you over the years.
yeah. Although it's quite possible Tanker's got the better list, and you know they're both very good players. I'm going to go with Ali because long live the Greenskins.
I think this could go one of two ways, which is an obvious answer. But the reason I say that is if those catapults hit turns one and turns two, those Swordmaster units disappear. Like you said as well, Tim, if he can force through a Wrath of God, although I'm sure that's what Tanker will be trying to stop, I think Ali's got an opportunity here to win the range game early, at which point Tanker has no option but to try and push, and could push himself into a hopeless cause. My biggest concern with Ali is I don't rate his core build at all. I preferred the old Feral Orcs with the spears and stuff, but I know the reason he doesn't take those anymore is because they've been pointed out. But I'm not a huge fan of the Orc core.
I think Tanka wins the stand-up fight. Ali's special stuff has blowout potential, and if that goes off first, Tanka will be put behind and won't win the fight. I just worry if that stake, if it misses or the spell doesn't get off, then there's little that Ali can do to stop him, even with monsters versus infantry.
Yeah, no, I agree with you there. So it's going to be a lot on if his catapults turn up, which, from personal experience, they're very hit and miss. Boom, boom. So you got him down 16-4. Tony reckons, what, 12-8-ish to Ali?
Nope, 18 to Ali.
Oh, bold. I've got to go big. I reckon 15 to Ali. What's the scenario? We should have said that at the beginning of the episode, actually. Well, the first round, everybody's playing the same scenario, aren't they? It's refuse flank, secure target.
Yeah, I think for this particular matchup, again, it will come down to who places the pennies and who goes first. But the diagonal setup would favour Tanker for me because he can close the gap a bit quicker. Perhaps that speeds things up in the reaching the combat. But as you say, it's going to come down to what hits first, whether the shooting wipes out war machines or monster, or whether the fly swatters, or whatever they're called these days, wipe out the sword masters.
Hmm. Cool. Okay.
So what's your final prediction, Paul?
I went 15 for Ali. I reckon his artillery will turn up this weekend. If it doesn't, he's in trouble. But they say his artillery turns up. I think playing elves myself, it's horrible when the elves actually are on the receiving end of rocks. It's not fun.
Well, we've all gone big, but we're split on that one.
Second matchup is Hugh Scarlan with his Kingdoms of Equitaine. What do they do? And Mikey Newman with his VC, which I know very well. So I'll lead on this one. I rate Mikey's list. I personally don't like it because of just the play style of it. It's very solid.
To use, you like the list, but you don't like using the list.
Yeah, it's not the type of vampire list I like to play. But it's very strong. It's got answers to most things out there. The only thing is, I have not got a clue what the new Kingdom of Equitaine book does. And I think this might be Hugh's trump card. Mikey's a very good player. Hugh knows what he's doing. It really does depend on how the Kingdoms of Equitaine match up against the VC. Historically, as a VC player, I look at Kingdoms of Equitaine and think, yeah, easy win. Equitaine usually hit your blocks, get stuck, you flank them, you kill them. But I'm not sure on the new Equitaine book. All I do know is Mikey's bought a list with horrendous sniping potential. It's got horrendous damage output from range. And if you get too close, he punches you in the face. So I know Hugh's got a bit of a mountain to climb. And there's never an easy game in the Masters, is there? But I don't know is the honest answer to this one. I don't know the Kingdoms of Equitaine book at all, but I'm going to put Mikey down for a 13-7 win.
So Mikey's list is quite blocky, quite solid. I like the size of some of the units he has here. He's got a lot of threats, a lot of hammers available to him. There's two things about his list I don't quite get, but I don't play VC and I won't claim to at this point. I'm not sure what the Phantom Host unit size lets it do. And I don't know what that extra last apprentice is for. There's just like an extra wizard apprentice that's not that killy, not that defensive, just milling around. But I've had a habit of underestimating Mikey's ability before. I won't make that mistake again. This list is obviously going to be synergized to his play style. He's very good, reads games very well. Hugh, on the defensive side of the game, very solid. You know, this list is going to have a lot of potential damage output, but he's very cautious in how he takes that. So I don't think he's going to get caught up in the rubber lance issue of just charging into a block that won't die and getting collapsed on. He'll attack from outside in. I think Hugh controls the ranged game in this one because of the nature of multiple cav bricks. I have it down as a 13-7 to Hugh. I think it will get bloody. There will be units exchanged on either side. I just think that perhaps Hugh will control the secondary here, and that might just tip the balance in his favour. But again, I'm not an expert in either of these lists. The new KOE book is outside of my scope at the minute. I just think that this one perhaps gets controlled by the charge ranges, and that's why I favour Hugh overall on this one.
Yeah, again, two very thoughtful players. Yeah, can't help but agree with that VC list. I'd hate to be facing that. I've played against KOE once and was thoroughly confused. I think the amount of great weapon knights you get now who are unstable is always a bit of a shock, especially when they start getting up again at one a round, at one a turn, isn't it? Sorry. So, I don't know. See, so you've both balanced out completely. So it's down to me to make the decision. I think I'm going to go gut feel is going to be my key, just because, yep, KOE are a new list, but Hugh will have only been able to cram in limited experience. I mean, probably quite a few practice games. I know he does like a bit of the old UB, so has probably started honing it. But I think Mike has got a really, you know, just solid experience with vampires. So I'm going to go 12-8 to Mikey.
Ooh, so Mikey pips it. Yep. So game three, we got Mark Greensill. Bless you, mate. Bless you. Against our good friend Haristo Nikolov with his dwarves. Tim, you play dwarves. Why do you play dwarves?
Dwarves are amazing. They're the only thing that can unanimously get the whole world to agree on something they think that they're right about, but they're not. And that's the whole point of being a dwarf. It's gorgeous.
Well, knowing how dwarves work, do you want to lead off on this one?
Yeah, I'll kick off. So Mark's list, I'm not sure about it. It's got great balance. He's played variants of this for a long time, but I'm not sure if he's got enough of any particular one thing to lean on it heavily enough to win, like not enough shooting to outshoot someone, not enough combat to bully them. And then Christo's list is just exceptional. It's going back to the master spam. He's a previous master. I know it was with the Fortress, but this list is incredible. There's 50 strength 4 range shots at like 30 inches of range, plus 3 war machines, 140 or more dwarves, 7 scoring units, about a bajillion Kingsguard. It is, I love it. I think it's absolutely fantastic. This matchup is going to come down to how aggressive Christo wants to be. I have him as a 15-5 in this one. If he wants to put the foot down and really go all out, he could quite happily go 18, 19, 20 in this round and put himself in great contention for the event, because this list is worthy of a medal all on its own. It gives dwarf players a smile, and that's very difficult to do.
What's your thoughts, Tony?
Dwarfs. Who do I think? I think Haristo, like you say, we've talked about the dwarf conundrum many times off pod, but that is a solid list. However, out of principle, I'm going to say, because Mark's, yeah, Haristo's got dwarfs and cannons and, you know, just a stubborn, although not necessarily Dwarf stubborn, but, you know, this grudging line of infantry coming towards you as it shoots. Whereas Mark's got a dragon. Therefore, I'm going to go Mark, and I'm going to go 13-7. 13-7 to Mark, because he's got a dragon.
I think karma can be a bitch. in the most recent TEC, I pulled up against Mark round 5 and looked at his list, and I thought, I have no hope against this. And I played like a Muppet and came out with, I think it was like 18, I got 18-2 or so. I came out with 2 points or maybe even a point, can't remember. I think Mark has got a real problem in this matchup. Knowing high elves as well as I do, looking at everything. I mean, the Swordmasters can go toe-to-toe with a Kingsguard block, but not 4. The rest of it can't touch Aristo's list. The dragon is going to have to hide from the cannons. I just don't know how Mark's going to come out of this one.
By the way, I don't know how he's going to score 13 points. So I just have confidence he will.
I mean, I mean, he's taken the bow of Ilu off of the dragon, so the only damage that's doing is in combat, and it doesn't really want to fight anything in Aristo's list, apart from the handgunners, which, if it gets to those, Aristo's played it majorly wrong. Yeah, I see this being... If this was in open play in any other event, I think Aristo could potentially go for the 20. As it's the Masters, I just think Mark's going to try and hide as much as possible, lose the objective as well as the majority of points. I reckon Mark's going down at least 15, maybe more. Sorry, Mark. I like you as a bloke, but... And I really wish that people would beat dwarves, but I'm just looking at that dwarf list thinking, I don't know how you're going to beat that. Not with Cosmo. And not with combat. There's not a huge amount of shooting in your list, and you kind of need the pew-pew to shoot those dwarves before they get to you.
Table Who's four. Up next? Tom Clues with Warriors versus Josh, and Josh has got Sylvan Elves.
I really like Josh's list. Been looking at Sylvan Elves a little bit. Obviously, I haven't really played around with them since the points change. But the increase in their various caps and stuff just leads to some new builds. That Forest Prince is horrid. The Eagle's so versatile, and I mean the guy's strength 7, AP 5, I think it is, or something stupid. And again, it was a master of cosmology, maybe not too brilliant against warriors, but I think he's got a lot of tools here to duck and dive, get out of the way of Tom. Also, a bit of in behind the scenes knowledge, I know Tom hasn't played a huge amount this year. I don't really rate his core setup. The Last Warriors I've used a lot. They're now too expensive. He doesn't have musicians on them, so they're not as mobile as one would hope. The Feldrak with a great weapon, with a great weapon is just a complete waste of points. Now, in my opinion, they're too expensive. And
Halberd and Supernal Dexterity, isn't it?
Oh, no, that's the old. The Ancestor's well. Not bad. I mean, the Ancestor's okay. I mean, he's a monster killer. If he gets into the Tree Man, he will probably do a world of pain. But yeah, I don't really rate Tom's list that much. Sorry, Tom, to be brutal. But yeah, I think Josh has got good potential here to come out the other side, probably about 14, 15, depending how Tom plays it. It could even landslide, depending on how up Josh gets early on and how much he wants to push. That's my thoughts.
See, I'm not sure I agree with that. I mean, I don't know Sylvan Elves too much. I have played them a number of times, but I think they are in, especially if Tom, you know, kind of gets up and gets them pinned early. If he gets that first turn and starts pairing things up, it puts them in an awkward position. I know they've got a lot of space to fall back with it being refused flank, but you know, that you can dance about for so long, but at some point, those Feldraks is just going to come forwards. And that, yeah, the Chosen Lord on the chariot. I mean, he's got the Entropic aura, hasn't he? What's Josh actually got? I suppose he loses his Titanic Might and he loses Destiny's Call with his Forest Prince.
He won't go into that combat, though. He's too highly mobile. We'll just dodge him.
But even then, I mean... that's the thing, a Chosen Lord on a chariot. Well, I suppose the with a great weapon as well. You know, if that gets into some undamaged, it's coming out the other side. Obviously, you can say that about a lot of matchups, but I just think, you know, Josh will be there picking away and really hurting those warriors units, and then a couple of them are just going to start running over him. Although the Tree Fathers. Terrible. When if it gets into warriors, they die just as easily as Empire Spearmen, to be honest. They just drop really quick, but I suspect that won't happen. And they're two units, so if one happens to go, you know, it's not everything. I lost a very big block of warriors to a Tree Man, and I did nothing back to him, and I'm still bitter about it. So
it's scarred.
It's scarred. I don't know, I just think yeah, Warriors can just pull it back in that matchup, maybe. It'll be interesting, though. Oh, yeah, I've got to give a score, haven't I? I'm going to go 14 to Tom and 6 to Josh.
I also have 14-6 to Tom in this one. The list has got some size and bulk in it. It's got a nice spread of magic. There's a lot of high strength, which is going to carve up the Treeman specifically. But he's got low scoring value overall. Like, he's not got many scoring units. I don't rate two blocks of 10 Warriors kind of for the reason Paul said. They're not quite what they used to be. They're not quite as kitted out as they could be. But the what worries me here is, though, Josh's list, I'm not 100% on it. There's 700 and something plus points in maidens, which is, I think, the first time in the history of playing games that I've seen that. What worries me in this game is finishing it. Having played against a lot of Sylvan Elf players, you struggle to finish the game. You need to finish the game to get all your points from it. Josh's list is no exception to that. It's got lots of things. It's got shooting. It's got ranges. It's got combats, stubborn combats, things that aren't going to break and run away. There's going to be a lot that happens in the game. If the game finishes, this could be 16-4. If Tom goes first and pushes hard and gets the right kind of matchup with the mission, 16-4. I'm going 14-6 because either Josh could go first and control the board and keep things at distance, or his shooting will concentrate fire, blow a hole, and it gives him an escape hatch. It's going to be close either way. I favour the Warriors overall because they've got some speed, got some size in this. And the diagonal, as much as you can drop deeper, you can't avoid the way you can on, say, a normal deployment. If you can get your opponent to over-deploy on one side of the field, they just have to keep pushing forward to your corner and eventually they will get you. So I have it 14-6 to Tom, just because of my reservations on what could happen here and anything. If any game is going to go to time, it's going to be this one and one other. I'm hoping that there's no time issues, everything gets resolved. But I think if it does, I think Tom's list has enough in this matchup specifically because of the strength on things like that Elder with the great weapon. Most matchups, yeah, it's probably not going to be the best. In this one, having another strength 7 target or strength 8 target is just what you need to can open some treatment. So, yeah, 14-6 from me.
Super. Right, next matchup is Jake with his ID versus Ed. And I don't mind going first on this one. So, interestingly enough, I've played... So, Jake's, yeah... Well, not in fact, no, it was one of Jake's lists. I copied one of Jake's lists in for ID in the Celtic League and played against Ed with his demons. And Ed gave me the kicking of the world. It was awful. Everything went wrong. His Hellhounds had a 2-up against Flaming. I sent my Infernal Engine in, misfired, gave it Flaming attacks, at which point he had a 2-up Aegis. So, unfortunately, Ed seems to have dropped that off his Hellhounds, the 2-up Aegis. So, I don't know. I can't help but feel that Jake, he's got a solid list, knows how to play it. Loads of infantry, some of the toys, Infernal Engine, the whole lot. I'm going to go with Jake, and I think it will probably be a 12-8 to him.
So... this is my other game that's going to go long. This is going to probably go to time. Ed is going to be all over the board, controlling distances, picking off targets that he wants. Jake's going to lock down, give him no easy stuff, nothing around the sides, make it very difficult. Usually when Jake does that, he has a combat character or a combat big threat that could jump out and spring a trap. Doesn't have it in this list. But the list has got a lot of other toys, as you said, quite a few toolbox items that can help. But every one of those has to be factored into everything on Ed's side, because any one mistake is a dead unit and a dead unit and then a flank ripped open. So I have this one down, unfortunately, I hope I don't get cut from the team, but I have this one down as 11-9 to Jake. I think this is going to run tight. It's going to be big points exchanges on both sides. And I think Ed's big single units having quite high price tags might just mean that, you know, if both of those go down in this game, it's going to favour Jake. If one somehow stays alive, it's going to be tight. If Ed gets both alive, then Jake's had a nightmare and goes down heavy. But I have it 11-9 to Jake. But I think overall, Ed will finish higher because his list has bigger blowout potential. So when the Masters is all said and done, I could see Ed finishing higher. But I think Jake wins this particular matchup.
Ooh. So I think personally, I like you, Ed. I don't rate the courtesan, and I definitely don't rate a single master on witchcraft. There are some good things about that list that I really do like. And I know you've got the Veil Serpents as well, which I've just noticed with the champions. So that does give you some other spells.
The Eidolons are more.
Oh, magic. Sorry, the Eidolons have got a champion as well. That makes
sense. Yeah, he's got quite expensive. A bit of magic hidden.
Okay, so apologies, Ed. I had missed the fact that you had got two Wizard Conclaves in there. That does change things slightly because it makes your magic a little bit more useful. In that case, actually, Witchcraft isn't... The problem I have with Witchcraft as the Soul Master is that it's great rounds kind of 1-3, but later game when you don't have as many units, it's a buffing law or it's a messing around with your opponent law. If you've got nothing to Raven's Wing, it's a useless spell. I think the biggest thing for this particular matchup, though, is the fact that Jake is one. I don't know how he's going to play necessarily for the objective, but he has a master on pyromancy, and this demons hate that. But I do think that the Scourge is going to go absolutely crazy into this list. I don't know exactly what Jake has got to stop that that Wrath demon going ballistic unless he can contain it early. So, yeah, like yourself, I think, Tim, I think it's going to be a big score one way or the other. In fact, no, I think both of them are going to lose a lot of models. I think that a lot of demons are going to burn, but I think a lot of dwarves are going to get swatted in the meantime. So I'm going to go 10-10. I haven't said that yet, but I also think time is going to be a big issue here. I know Jake likes to play a bit slower sometimes and is very thoughtful, but I think that's going to be offset by Ed just pushing things around and playing quick. So, 10-10.
Nice.
Okay, next table is table 6, and that's the Bran table, where you've got, beasts versus beasts. So there'll beasts be fur everywhere.
Beasts everywhere. Do you want to take the lead on this, Tim, for obvious reasons?
Yeah, sure. Okay, so two very, very different list designs. Kev's list... very different how I play Beast Herds, both of these lads are, but I'm not sure I get parts of it. He's got an armor save on a wizard that if it ever has to roll an armor save, it's probably dead already. And a Mino Bunker that's got to do all the heavy lifting and defending and charge blocking and charge ranging. And it's got to do a lot. Jeff's list, very Hot Wheels. He's got lots of range charges. It's really hard to stop. You know, the six-man lances of centaurs are an absolute nightmare if he goes drunken with them and they hit really hard like tanks. And they're the backup units that are probably going to be fast calving this matchup to allow the chariots to do impact hits. And impact hits take minotaurs off before minotaurs do minotaur things. If Jeff gets a combo charge, he beats the mino brick because he can wipe the unit out and only the characters are left. And they will exchange wound for wound with the unit that just killed their unit. But then Jeff's characters will then strike last with the beast weapons that he uses and will tip it back in his favour, plus charging. I just think it's horrible. If any of Kev gets the speed buff off on Mino Bunker, Jeff will just flee twice from it and then counter collapse back onto that target. And you know, if he gets the side of that Mino Bunker with unit chariots, you can wipe it all goodbye. So I'm afraid, Kev, I have to put this one down 15-5 to Jeff. He has a lot of blowouts in early rounds at a lot of events. The Beast Mirror seems to favour him quite well because beasts want to fight and then chariots go before you fight and that can really dent it. I'm not saying it couldn't be reversed, but there's an awful lot of work that Mino Bunker needs to do and I just see Jeff's lift being more reliable at doing what it needs to. And in a mirror, I favour going first and hitting automatically over potentially re-rolling to hit if you've got bodies left. So 15-5 to Jeff. Sorry, Kev.
So I think Kev is struggling a little bit with what I was struggling with my warriors at Tech. He's focusing on painting up a lovely army. He's put in an awful lot of attention. I mean, his raiding chariots are all custom built. I mean, all three of us saw the beginnings of his list late last year when we all went up to Matt's for that weekend. And we had a great time. And again, Mr. Mino and Mrs. Mino, there are some great tales of what Kev was able to do with those in the previous year all the way up to the Masters. And that's how he qualified. And then obviously they did great things for him in that 5,000 point list at the Scottish Championships. I think the problem he's got is he's playing against somebody who's playing more to the book in its current state. I think there's some things in Kev's list that I don't think Kev would want to take, but has to take because they're the only models he has painted. And I think that's going to, in a tight field like Masters, when you've got very good players, a lot of it then comes down to the list itself. And like you say there, Tim, I think, unfortunately, in Kev's side of things, a lot of what Jeff has bought, I think, just goes toe-to-toe with what Kev's got. I mean, Jeff can basically dominate the charge arcs. He's got more range. And then when he does get in, like you say, he's got impact hits, he's hitting first. And the thing is that we all know about Beasts is they never fail a Primal Fury, so they always hit. that's the end of it, really. Beastman hitting Beastman first, the one that hits you first generally wins. I think Kev as well, mate, I think you're going down on this one. But that means you can submarine later in the event. I still have faith that you're not getting the spoon, mate. So, I'm not quite sure how you're coming out the end of this one, but I think this could go potentially quite big to Jeff, especially if Kev pushes it and then Jeff catches him. So 18 to Jeff.
Ooh, sounds harsh, but I've got to go.
Yeah, I've got to go with my gut.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, he's got block of 6 Minotaurs plus the 2 characters. I mean, what can 2 units of chariots charging do? And can he get 2 consecutive charges off without Kev? Like you say, he can double flee, but Kev's got a unit of chariots as well. So I don't know. I mean, I'm never sure with that shamanism, you know, the soothsayer. How much can he tank? I mean, can he tank a Minotaur Lord?
He won't be put in. Like, it'll be the Beast Lord that will go in, if at all, but it'll probably just be chariots that go into that unit. You put your characters to beat up the rest of the list.
Well, I think Kev's in with a shout. So I am going to go 12-8 with Kev. And I think all the focus will be on the Warlords, and then this rubbish unit of chariots will come off a hill or summit and poke a hole through. Or, you know, charge from a giant and some critical unit will just turn around and run off at the most inopportune time. So, yeah. 12-8 for the Kev.
All right, next up we got Craig Johnson with a bit of a surprise with Dread Elves. Playing against Jack Payne with his Warriors. I'm just going to quickly revise what Jack's got.
Jack's got the Herald, hasn't he? An ancestor-paired weapons Herald Sorcerer Adept on Evo. So I suppose you can get away with the Adept because you've got the Herald, but a Herald is expensive, isn't it?
Very expensive.
2 Giants, 2 Chimeras. It's one of those lists that with Warriors, sometimes you look at it and you try to work out where 4,500 points have gone. But until it's charging at you. I mean, you've got 2 warrior units and of 10 with lust and 9 barbarian horsemen. Sorry, that's where the point's gone. 5 chosen knights on gluttony. That'll 2 marauding giants and 5 chosen knights. So, you know, there is a big shock in the middle and those 2 fast moving chimeras. Which it's an interesting list, isn't it? I mean, it's not one. I mean, Warriors you can play so many ways, but Craig, yeah, it's going to be here, there, and everywhere, isn't it? And I know how much Craig loves his movement. It's just, I suppose, he's looking at Jack's list, thinking, well, if you're looking at movement, that would be 2 giants, 2 chimeras, 2 units of cavs plus the cavalry. There's going to be lots of moving going on. I don't know. I'm not sure if it's my turn, but I've butted in. I'll go with Craig anyway, because I think he'll just keep chipping away. I'm not sure. I mean, those 5 chosen with gluttony are going to be chosen knights with gluttony are going to be a pain for him. But if he can if he can either avoid or break that unit, I think the Dread Elves could do it. Now, what does it? I don't know. You know, trying to think what, but it's, yeah. Dread Elves are a funny one, aren't they? Especially like the Warlock Outcast is such a pain in the bum to play against. It is the amount of times they get two spells through, at least two big spells. Normally, when I'm happy to get one big spell through a turn, but they just consistently with that extra plus two to dispel makes it really hard to play against. So I think it'll be interesting. I think the that unit of five chosen will be the one that decides it, because I still think Craig will win, but I don't know how. Again, you know, five chosen coming straight down the field at that army, what's going to do it? So I'm going to go a small win to Craig, probably 12-8.
Okay. I love Craig's list. It's very Top Gun. There's a need for speed. As you say, it's going to be here and everywhere, but it's going to need to be everywhere together and redeploying across the field as a brick to have enough.
That's what Craig lives for, though, isn't it?
It is. And the difference between this and his other lists, this one's going to be shooting more, you know. So the Warriors single monsters he ran at Tech, the Beastmen before that, they didn't have the most damage output, particularly at range. This does. It's mobile. It's going to be hostile. If he gets Whispers of the Veil off, that Chosen Knight unit is going to wander into a dead pile, quickety split. But Jack's list brings bulk and size. It's fast. It's got good scoring and it's got great counterpunching. If he declares charges and they don't fail, he can open this list. There's not a great deal here that will stand up to a fair fight. But Craig's got a couple of single princes, if I recall. He can chaff up that gluttony brick with one of those, charging in if he wants to with the lance it's got, while he guns down, you know, the supporting elements and then redeploys to the far side of the universe and leaves Jack lying behind. There is a lot of blowout potential in this game on either side, but I have this quite comfortably at the moment, probably 16-4 to Craig. Again, not knowing who's going to get deployments and moving around, there's just so much more potential for Craig to hit something than I think there is for Jack. But Jack's a hell of a player too. Like, he's no fool. He knows what's coming. He'll set up for it. He'll have a plan in mind. If his charges connect, he'll probably have long ranges. But if they connect, he can easily swing something back, because, you know, Craig's list isn't res 4, res 5, high armor. Like, it will start whittling down. But I have it 16-4 to Craig, just because he's a little bit too maneuverable, I think.
I always wonder as well with this matchup is, I think part of it's my bias against that Exalted, because it's 860 points for, four wounds. I know it's got an Aegis, but still, you know, there's a lot of low casting, just snipes at the, snipes at him. It is going to whittle a couple of wounds off and you're going to be lurking at the back, worried about, you know, bolt thrower shots.
Which is why I don't think he can lurk. He'll have to take hard target and fly or whatever and just start pushing up the board and trying to be more useful. Jack's not going to win the standoff. The bolt throws and the shooting are going to pick out points. The charge and counter charge is going to take the rest. Like, Jack needs to get ahead. Can't sit there and just stand off this list. In my opinion, you know, he might flip reverse it and terror bomb something and swing it, but I can't see it yet.
So, taking what you've both said, one, I was surprised that there were no Krakens in Craig's list. Krakens, in my opinion, have been awesome. Their D3 wounds really turn single models into a bit of a mess. The other thing that I noticed with Jack's list is that the Herald can't fly because the Ancestor's there. So it limits the options that that Herald can do. And I think I don't think does it have to be the general to stop you flying? I thought just having a Feldrak Ancestor on the table meant that you couldn't fly.
I think it's if you're the general, because that's what gives you the extra like points in monsters. You only get that if you're the general.
Okay.
But you know, I don't think you want to fly because the bolt flyers.
If he can fly around, it might make a difference. But I had a little play around when the Dread Elf book first landed, when the repeater crossbows had three shots each, and they were bent. There's a reason they changed that. two shots each, though, is still horrific. There's a lot of firepower coming out of Craig's list. He's going to be here, there, and everywhere. I personally think that the Warriors are just going to start dropping like flies. The thing as well with
just jumping back on what you were saying about Primal Legend, if the model is the general, the maximum sum of legendary beast values to buy a one, full stop, while the model is on the board, friendly units with fly may not use fly and movement.
Yeah, so is that whilst he's the general?
Well, no, there's a full stop, isn't it? So
that's what I mean. So whilst he's the general, you get the added boost, but whilst he's on the table, you physically can't fly. Is that right?
That's how I read it.
That was my understanding of it, but I don't know. The thing is with this Dread Elf, that those repeater batteries, the fact they can just push them forwards, move them around, they're always strength 5. I mean, they took off my Chosen Knights when I played against Dread Elves recently. It was horrendous, the amount of firepower that Dread Elves can bring out. It's all armor piercing. Like you said, that Warlock Outcast is a pain with the Evo, so he can snipe away. Basically, you've got to pick your poison. He's either sniping you or you're losing your res, and then he shoots you off. I know he's a fan of the Lightning Van Braces. Again, that's very that's the gambler's law, is Storm, isn't it? As soon as you've got like a D6 strength, D6 hits, that could be 6 strength 6 or 1 strength 1. You just don't know. But for 2 dice at it every round, you're going to get 4 strength 4. Most often than not, or 3 strength 4 or 4 strength 3, that will start to add up. I think Jack's going to struggle personally, but Warriors have this way of just being a good book and pulling themselves out of a hole and being res 4 and being able to pass armor saves. It's a hard one to say. I'm going to go Craig, but I'm going to go... No, I'm going to say Craig 15. I think Craig gets up and goes, I don't know though, Jack's got a lot of time with, no, stick with it, 15-5 to Craig. Let's go with that. What do I know?
There's every chance that 5 Chosen Knights just run straight through the middle of Craig's army, isn't there?
There is no middle of Craig's army. That's the thing. He'll run straight up the middle and then they just all fall off the back of their mounts because they all just get dackered. It'd be like the Charge of the Light Brigade. It's the fact the bolt throwers don't sit still. They just push around. And then if you stay outside of 24 inches, you're not safe because they move 5, shoot 24. So you've got to be 29 away. And that is a zone. And you kind of start pushing into it. And then as soon as they sit there and hit on 3s, they're just brutal. They're utterly brutal. I personally think they're undercosted. I think they're better than Reaper.
Have you had a bad experience recently?
I have. Yeah. As I said, I played them at Tech. So just playing against them, they are very versatile. They do dominate the battlefield quite well. Between them and Krakens, it was a horrible matchup. As I said, Craig's not got that. He's got the fast flitty stuff. But it'd be an interesting one anyway. Game 8, Luke Williams with his Undying Dynasties versus Che Davis Smith with his Warriors. What do you think, Tim?
So Luke's list's got bulk. It's got some real good threats in there. I love the little Chabdi dart. I'm assuming that's a scoring unit. I didn't look it up to double check. I just think a binding scroll would have set this list off really nicely for great flex. The other lists, I'm not sure on it. It hasn't got much in the way of redundancy. It's quite limited in magic. I'm not sure with the Warriors only being equipped with sword and board, given they are a very expensive unit. In this particular matchup, I favour Luke quite heavily. I have it 15-5 to Luke, and I can't see many reasons to doubt that prediction. The Warriors list certainly has potential if it all comes together, but I think it's got a little bit too much diversity of like one of these, one of those, one of them, and each one has a very separate purpose. And if you line those purposes up directly opposite the board with what they need to be, it works out great. If you don't, or if someone interrupts with it, I just think that Luke has enough here to not sail through this comfortably, but to be comfortable in this game. So I have it 15-5 to Luke.
Yeah, I've played a very similar matchup to this against Luke twice, and I've bumped him up greatly. Although Che has a bit of a different list to mine. Mine has more characters, but doesn't have the double chosen chariot with Gluttony. Again, and the six wretched ones. I mean, this is it. If he can push those wretched ones up, can the block of chariots or the two colossus, how quickly can they get through them? But on the other hand, two colossus. If those two colossus get through into those warriors, that's two rounds. Obviously, Che's not going to be as silly as me and let him do that. I threw the world at a colossus to do the last wound, couldn't, and then it ran through my big block of infantry. Still chafes 6 months on. But I don't know. I think I'm going to go with Luke because it's a hard one to crack. And, you know, you're pinging wounds off with Evo. But it doesn't really work, does it? Because they're just going to come back at the same rate that you ping them off. So it kind of takes a lot of that sniping out, which is always a pain against vampires or UD. I'm going to go 14-6 to Luke.
So I really rate Luke's list. I think it's a fantastic list. As much as I hate dwarves, and I really rate Haristo's list in this event, if you ask me to play with any of these lists in the event, I would like to take Luke's, purely because it's the playstyle I enjoy playing with. I really like the idea of the two adepts rather than a master, which means you can then start to bring in some tools. I think the Pharaoh with the Godslayer in this matchup is king. He's going to be a real beast to bring down, and similarly, he's going to be doing multiple wounds to all sorts of things because of the conditional ward save various other bits and pieces. I do like part of Che's list. I don't know. I mean, I know Vale Walker is really expensive, but he's running a very similar master to what I was running on Evo, and with Hellfire, the two snipes, and two of the three combat buffs, Evo with Vale Walker is really impressive. As soon as you take Vale Walker out of it, you lose the range, which means that sorcerer is going to have to start getting closer than he would like to all that dead stuff that really wants to punch him in the face.
He has got the advantage of 29 warriors to stand in.
Yeah, but I'd run two colossi straight into those and you'd come out the upside. Oh, yeah, God. Pretty
we both know. Those colossi would churn through warriors at a painful rate, wouldn't they? Especially.
The wretched ones could be an issue. But again, the thing that the Undying Dynasties do is they get back up. So, it's a difficult.
I mean, nothing's going through those wretched ones quickly, are they? Even if you get the two Colossus in, it's not going to be a quick one. The Godslayer, you know, it's a 5-up regen. So that's, apart from the Warhounds, the wretched ones are the only ones he doesn't get multiple wounds against.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose he doesn't against the Feldrax either.
I think the Tomb Cataphracts do a number on them, though, because they've got the armor.
On the Feldrax ones.
No, the wretched ones. Feldrax. The Feldrax are an interesting one. Again, it's why I don't think Luke's going to just run straight over him, unless Jay plays like a Muppet, which I doubt he will. But I do. I rate Luke's in this one. And I think just from speaking to Luke, his games are usually massive one way or the other. So if Luke is going to win, I think he's going to win big. Is it 20? None of us have
really?
Said 20 now. None of us have said 20.
That's not the one to pick a 20 on, is it, though? Because, I mean, those Warriors units and the wretched ones are going to take some grinding out. So I'd be very surprised if it was up that high.
I reckon Luke goes through. I reckon Luke picks his fights. I think he could have a bit of a problem with the Feldrax, the six Feldrax with the halberd, but I think there's enough in Luke's list that he picks his fights and then just trundles straight through. I think Jay is fighting a real big uphill battle here. I think just the one character, that's exactly what I've been using. And in this matchup, if I was taking Che's list into this matchup, I wouldn't rate my chances. I don't know what that particular list that Luke's been, and plus the fact Luke's got a lot of experience with this list and has been doing very well with it. No, I'm backing Luke. Sorry, Che. but yeah, just based off of what Luke said all year. I mean, what was his TEC results? Wasn't it 20-20-0, 20-20 or something? Wasn't it? It was big one way or the other constantly, wasn't it?
I'm still not talking about that because the like I say, a colossus on one wound my entire turn, everything at it. Couldn't do a wound. Oh, it was pitiful.
Skills, you see. Skills.
I don't know, because if Che, you know, gets those warhounds up early and gets the knights push forwards, he can just run forwards. And how much can Luke fight off at once? Maybe it's just me getting burned.
I don't know.
That's the thing with warriors, you can play low characters because you've got so many good units. I'm starting to second guess myself looking at the Feldrax.
Luke's
chosen.
Got five combat punches. He's got eight chariots. He's got a Pharaoh general and the Shadar Guardian, which is effectively a big monster. Five cataphracts and two colossi. Mm. I think they go in and out of anything they charge.
Yeah.
And again, it's just, it is a brick, it's a punch to your face. And again, those warhounds, if Luke wants to, those skeleton scouts just scout Vanguard in front of the warhounds, and then they can't block him. So there are options. I do think Luke's gonna smash it one way or the other, either that or he's gonna turn around and Chase is gonna be all over him. But I don't see it. I think Luke's gonna go up big in this one. So, with those predictions in mind...
What was your final prediction then?
20. I reckon Luke's going to win 20. There's always a 20 in the first round of the Masters. Always a 20. And I think Luke's got the... I think out of the lists, it's quite an interesting one, really, because we're not talking about lists, really. We're talking about matchups. But as you go through the tournament, and just from speaking to Luke in our interview with him, seeing how his list works and looking at his tournament results... I think Luke has got one of the biggest lists that can either go big or will go home. If it turns up, I think he's definitely going to be somewhere in the top three. I think there's an answer there for most things that have been bought this tournament. I think he's got a few roughish matchups, but again, if the dice go his way, his army has got the potential to roll. And his play style as well. He's got the potential just to push it forwards and take people off. But with that in mind, let's go with Tim first, because you're the guest, so I'll put you under the pressure. Who do you reckon is going to come top three? Let's go top three, and then who do you reckon will win the event?
I've got a top three. I'm not going to put my neck on the chopping block this early and say who will win, but the three I have in mind, great segue, I have Luke. Reasons you've listed, I won't go into more detail. I have Craig. Because it's like betting against Jeremy in a football tournament. You can't bet against the guy who just keeps doing it and pulling out magic from his hat. The list he's got is certainly different. It's certainly Craig. And when Craig shows up with the Craig list, he usually podiums or wins or goes home by round two because he's already capped everyone. Like, it's going to be sick. And then I have Tanker as another one in contention. Because it's Tanker, because his list has savage elements. But I think the one most interesting to watch is going to be Fristo. If Fristo wants to push that list and wants to play aggro with it, it could upset the apple cart. I don't know whether he will. If he's up there at the end of day one, I want someone in his ear for the following morning to pull the rug from under his list. He'll know how to take it apart. I want him to go hammer and tong to try and do it, but I think we'll see. But Luke, Tanker, Craig, you know, very difficult to shift any of those names out of my head. But keep an eye on Haristo if he puts the foot down.
Mm. Yeah, I I was looking at that Haristo list as well. I mean, in my three, it's difficult because I keep looking at Craig's list and thinking, you know, I'm just not sure if it's there. But generally, you know, if you look at his TEC list, I wasn't sure that it was there. I'm still not sure, like how he you know, won the tournament so well. Like you say, it's Craig doing Craig's thing. I think I'm going to go for, in the podium spots, I'd expect to see, I'd like to see Haristo. I don't know whether we will this year. And it's interesting. I think, you know, the year that he's a bit more relaxed about it, in many ways, he seems to have bought a scarier list. Whether it is scarier or whether other players find they can take it apart, takes a better player than me to know. So I think I'm going to go Mikey, Hugh and Jake on the podium. I think I say Jake every year, by the way, and it pretty much trips him up every year. And he loses round one, you know, he has a bad day one and then, yeah, struggles. So sorry, Jake, I'm sure it's me jinxing you, but I'm going to go Mikey, Hugh and Jake. And again, I'll put Craig as my one to watch because I don't know how, but, you know, it wouldn't surprise me.
So I think, again, just listening to everybody in the interviews, nobody wanted to play ID. No one. Jake's got a lot of experience with them. He's got a master on Pyro, which I think is huge in a number of matchups. It really helps him against Craig. It helps him against the Beasts. It helps him against Ed and keeps him in it against Ed. I mean, there's some matchups where that Pyro is not going to be as good. Like, for example, against Haristo, if they get matched up, that's going to be a difficult match for him. But if he can get the run, I think Jake's got a very strong list to make the podium. Mikey, I think, has got a good chance purely because he knows his list. But on top of that, vampires are really difficult to play if you don't know how to play with them. And I think Mikey's list as well you need to know how to play VC well to play Mikey's list and get the most out of it. If Mikey swaps his list with someone else, I think Mikey then knows how to take his own list apart, and he proved that against Kev last year. And a lot of players will say that vampires, they just don't like playing with them. They play very differently to other armies. They crumble. It catches you out. You can't. If you're in the wrong place, you cannot flee. It is quite a different beast to manage. And the army swap round, Mikey's got enough experience with other lists to know what he's doing, and I think he will be up there. Last one to punt, I definitely think, is also Luke, for the reason I mentioned earlier. I think he's got a good round one. I think he can go 20 first round. And then depending who he comes up against, again, I think if he can get another big win in round two, that really does put him ahead. A lot of it's going to be coming matchup dependent. But looking at the other lists, if you were saying to me, right, okay, would you like to take the UD or another list? There's not many lists in this tournament that I would say, I'd rather that over Luke's. And I think it will just come down to, well, as it always does at a tournament, I think it will come down to who you play, as in matchup rather than person. Yeah, I think they're my three picks for podium. As to who wins it, again, it's very matchup dependent, and it all comes down to who gets what in the army swap. But yeah, I definitely think those three have bought lists that they all know very well. They all know how to beat their own list, I would say. Yeah, I think it's really between Jake and Mikey this year. But I do think Luke could cause a bit of an upset. They're my thoughts. Sorry, everybody, sorry. I've jinxed you. Craig's naturally going to win it now, isn't he? Because I've completely mugged him off. Yeah, they're my three.
You mentioned before the podcast, Tim, that you had thought about favourites for the Open. Me and Paul haven't looked at them because we're playing in it. But have you got any thoughts on that?
I have. Funnily enough, you two are placed on a different bit of paper. I had a quick look over the lists. I picked out a list that I think is amazing, and I would love to play at this event for like a best list thing. I think it's Jack Bucknell playing Ogre Kingdoms. I think it's fantastic. It's got a lot of range threat to it. It's going to shoot off a whole world. If anyone goes anywhere near it, it's going to beat it up. It's possibly awesome, but I don't know the name. I don't know the play style. I don't know whether someone's going to crack it and just get lucky in a charge or whatever. So people to watch out for. Chris Bond's Sylvan Elves. He's been here before. Very similar list to the last time he won the Open a couple of years back. Leggy's list of Warriors of the Dark God Monster Smash. I hold true to my heart because I ran a smashier version at Tech. And I found that the behemoths were useless, and I'm hoping Leggy doesn't find that to his detriment at the event. And John Turner as a list and a player that, again, could do some things at this event. So I kind of have those names in mind of things to watch out for. Not to say that the two of you won't be up there, but I can quite easily see you guys pulling each other round four, dragging each other out of any contention to finish the event.
Well, we're both staring at round one going, oh, God, I'm against John and his elven flaming gun line, thinking this is the first time in a year I haven't had a Aegis on the Lord of a two up against flaming. Great. And, and Paul's just sat in the corner sulking about dwarves.
I've got dwarves. To be honest, mate, I've taken a bit more of a fun list this year. Last Masters Open, I took the Asklanders just to try and do something a little different. It had potential, but again, the dice weren't very favourable in that particular tournament, and they didn't perform as well as I hoped they would do. And the real reason is I just want to take something without having to worry about painting it, and Vampires is one of my largest armies, and I just want to prove that a dragon, 1,230 points worth of dragon, there's a reason you don't take that to a tournament. I'm just going to remind myself over the weekend. So we shall see. But it should be a fun event. And good luck to everybody, obviously, taking part. Thank you very much, Tim, for coming on. It's wonderful getting your insight. And obviously, we'll make a note of who's predicted what.
I've written them all down. So I'm can review it afterwards.
If I'm right, I'll come on and talk about it. If I'm massively wrong, then I'm busy. Sorry, lads.
That's all right. We'll get Boxy on at that point.
Oh, please do, because people don't think I've got a best friend. I keep talking about him on podcasts, and he's never been here. So I might have to do our own one just so I can prove to the people that he exists.
Have we ever seen the two of them in the same room at the same time?
Not on camera.
there's no evidence But listen, guys, great podcast. Thanks very much again, Tim, for coming on, and all the best to everybody taking part. Obviously, we didn't mean any negativity towards any players, and what we say should be taken with a pinch of salt. You're all masters, you've got there. I've never been. You're all better players than I am, so what do I know? Thanks very much for listening, and have a good evening.
Thank you very much. Bye.
Hi, guys. It's me, Lucky Sixes from Proxy Table Gaming.
And me, Maddy P from the Paired Weapons Podcast.
The Masters competition is back. For your chance to win a selection of these prizes, including gaming accessories, 3D print vouchers, the Breach introduction game, and commissions from the Gobbo, simply answer this question. Which army was placed at the top of the latest tier list, released in December 2021? Was it Orcs and Goblins?
Demon Legions?
Or Beast Herds?
To enter, simply send your answer to the following email address. PairedWeaponPodcast@gmail.com. That's the PairedWeaponPodcast@gmail.com. Don't forget to include your name, contact details, and your answer. Check out the Masters Review Show on the Proxy Table Gaming YouTube channel shortly after the tournament itself.
Thanks to all our partners and sponsors.
And good luck.
See you later.